This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
Want to reach out to the network, you can do it several ways. Feedback at AMI.ca if you want to send an email. Maybe you have a question about AMI Tele, AMI Audio, or AMI TV. Great place to do it right there. You can also give us a call, 1-866-509-4545. Mention you'd like to leave the message for Kelly and Company and give us permission to use your message on air. Absolutely would love to do that if that's something you'd rather, and we'd love to hear your voice, of course. And out there on Twitter, at AMI Audio, a way you can also keep up with the programs, what's happening over here at the network and on each of the shows, and so much more AMI Audio news at AMI Audio on Twitter. Ramya Muth and Kelly McDonald, and let's welcome in the other producer for the show, or as I've been calling them this week, one of the other meeting blockers for me, Jeff Ryman.
Buffers.
From fashion to travel, pets, and more, we cover it all on the Lifestyle Report with me, Jeff Ryman.
See what I mean? She got right in there with the buffer.
It's buffers. It was,
and it's easier to say.
It's right at the tip of my tongue.
Yeah. Meeting buffer. Meeting. It's like a bullfrog. Ribbit. Hello, Jeffrey.
I prefer meeting insider, maybe. We give you a little bit of the details on what to expect. Oh. So, you know, there's a couple of like a different PI. Ways you can put it.
Well, unless you guys bring all depressing stuff from them, I mean, that's kind of like meeting bummers. It's just like, oh, good grief. Good gosh, right. Guys. I don't need that. Don't need to know that info. What do you got for us today, sir?
Yeah, so the first one here, this one got me thinking. It's about spring and flowers and gardening, sort of stepping into Susan's territory a little bit here. Although this is kind of like the basic gardening 101 for spring, and especially for newbies like me, who are fairly new to gardening and specifically lawn care as well. I kind of pulled a big dad move yesterday and started fertilizing my lawn. Very exciting, by the way.
Oh, I thought you meant you got your dad to come over and fertilize the lawn for you.
You know, growing up as a kid, I never really cared about my lawn or the garden. But now that I own a house, I'm like, all right, maybe I understand why my parents were always so, nitpicky and nagging me to mow the lawn. So I figured, you know, with the weather turning around as nice as it's been getting, especially right across the country and especially in our neck of the woods, I thought a little bit of a garden 101, I guess, would be something that a lot of people might be interested in on the Lifestyle Report. So, I mean, if you want to plant vegetables or if you want to plant flowers, usually in the next couple of weeks is typically when you do that. This article comes from the Canadian Press, but it does have an American angle and was written definitely in the United States because they reference Memorial Day. That's typically when a lot of people start turning to the gardens and start working outside on their house after some long winters. But of course, a lot of things vary for people right across North America, really, because Memorial Day weather down in California is totally different than what it's like up here in Ontario, what it's like in Alberta, in Newfoundland, wherever you are. It's going to be a little bit different. So the one thing that you want to take note, and this is probably the very beginning stage of planting and getting your garden ready, is trying to calculate the average date of the last frost. So you want to just type in on Google. You can look up your postal code, whatever it may be. Look at some history surrounding the weather in your area. Obviously, frost and plants don't go well together. So that's one of the things you want to look for before you start planting. And now I think that frost may be out of the way in some of the country. It's definitely not out of the way for everybody. So, you know, just hop on the old internet and just figure out when usually on average the last frost is in the spring. So that's number one. You also need to figure out what vegetables and plants to plant at the correct times, because vegetables and annual flowers can be grouped into the cold tender and the cold hardy categories. Cold hardy vegetables include onions, lettuce, arugula, parsley, spinach, carrots, parsnips, and so on and so forth. And some other vegetables that may fall under the other category can be categorized as, you know, your typical flowers. And also you can also throw into that summer squash, tomato, pepper, eggplants, some melons, cucumbers, beans, all those sorts of things would definitely be under a different category. So you want to make sure that you plant the right things first, and maybe you want to hold off on some of the other vegetables for a little bit later on, maybe when the weather is a little bit warmer, because some vegetables and plants can withstand a little bit cooler temperatures in April and May, and some plants may like it a little bit warmer, and maybe May or June or maybe even further past that. Putting it all together and how to relate all this to that magical average date of the last killing frost in the spring. First to go into the ground are the seeds of cold hardy vegetables and flowers. Generally, they might be planted as soon as the ground has thawed. Of course, waiting for that last little bit of frost to go. Even cold hardy seeds won't germinate well under the temperature off the top few inches if it's above around 40 degrees Fahrenheit. Figure on planting these seeds 4 to 6 weeks before the average last frost date. Next in the lineup are transplants of cold hardy vegetables and flowers. So set them in the ground about 3 weeks before the average date of that last frost. And then you want to follow this group with seeds of the cold tender vegetables and flowers, which can go into the ground about a week before the last frost. The ground at that point retains heat to smooth out any swings in temperature, and the tender new shoots won't peak above ground for a few days after the temperatures have further settled. Finally, time to move to the cold tender transplants into the ground. Timing for this is about a week after that last frost. And remember, at this, and this is like pretty important, that the magical date is an average. So frosts can sometimes occur even a little bit after that. And obviously frost is the most threatening on cool, clear, windless nights. So be ready when frost is predicted to cover up those cold, tender plants with blankets or upturned flower pots or anything else that can hold in just a little bit of heat. So frost is your number one enemy if you're going to venture out into the garden this spring.
So
this,
I wonder if he's going to do any of this stuff. Like, are you going to do this, Jeff? Are you actually thinking, hey, man?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I have a little bit of a garden. We just need to obviously get that ready, get some more topsoil on there, fertilize a little bit, dig up some old plants or stuff that doesn't really look very good so far this year. I'll leave it to my girlfriend. I said, do you want to use some vegetables or do you want to do some flowers? So I think we're going to go all flowers, even though I kind of want vegetables because you can eat those. I can't really eat flowers. Well, I guess technically you can eat flowers, but it might be a little bit weird to eat some certain flowers. But I will definitely venture into the garden. Not really my forte. I think I'm more of a lawn care guy, and I'll leave my girlfriend to the garden. But for sure, obviously having a nice garden is aesthetically pleasing, especially when you have guests over. You know, you don't want a garden that has, you know, not much in it.
The frost thing is kind of iffy, right? Like, even when we've been talking to Susan, I don't know, the last spring, the last fall, she's been saying that it's not ordinarily like this. The mild winters, even things like that. So I am curious to know if a regular, like what should be when the last frost of winter or the last frost of 2021 in the past years would be kind of a way to go for this year and things like that, because I always wonder if there is such thing. What is supposed to be, you know, there's kind of a time frame, right? But if you're not a seasoned professional, then maybe you wouldn't know.
Yeah. And like you said, weather changes on a year-to-year basis. Again, if you just Google search when the last frost is in your area, you'll probably just get an average. And you have to sort of keep that in mind as well as, you know.
Well, it's like those days afterward, right? The 5-6 days, keep in mind, it could come back.
Yeah. I mean, check your forecast. I mean, it's so accessible to us just on your phone, watch the weather network, whatever it may be. It was going to be cold over the next 2 weeks, like unusually cold. Then maybe you want to hold off a little bit longer than you typically would, or vice versa. If it's going to be a little bit warmer, maybe you want to think about getting those seeds into the garden a little bit earlier. So I think you just have to use your instincts and also just rely a little bit on the weather, how it's going this year as well. Just, you know, factor in a bunch of different things.
Yeah, weather and like keeping an eye on your actual plants to see how they're reacting to certain things.
Yeah.
If you know that this is a sign that maybe they should be coming back in, or you need to cover them up, or whatever people have to do. I'm not really sure. Don't listen to me. But, you know, just keep an eye on the signs.
Okay, take them in, do this. Oh, put them, but no, they were just in. I'll put them back in.
Don't keep posted for our gardening segments.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is like very, very basic knowledge. I mean, this is basically gardening 101. The very first thing to look for is the weather. I think that's almost self-explanatory. But for, you know, dummies like myself who have never gardened ever and planted stuff, I think, you know, this is a good starting point. But for those people who are more experts in this field are probably laughing at us right now thinking you guys are fools.
They're saying move on to the next item.
I know. I do have one more. This is kind of a little bit of a fun one that has to do with animals. And there was a recent study from Rover Dog Services in just how cherished a family pet really is, especially during these pandemic times. The report titled Decoding Your Dog's Love Language states the majority of Canadian dog parents thanked their pets for having positively impacted their mental health during the pandemic. And they showed this by showing their four-legged furry friends with toys and gifts. And can you guys guess how much money a Canadian usually spends on their pet just to, obviously aside from the essentials and the odd treats here, but, you know, Remy, I guess you're a dog owner. Do you have any guess on how much people would typically spend to treat their dogs here and there?
Here and there? Like, I don't know what that means. Is it a year, every year, or every month?
I'd say, like, say if it's your pet's birthday. Like, if it's Glizzy's birthday.
Okay, well, he'll get, like, a nice steak dinner. Nice. Maybe a new toy. Maybe somebody else will bring him a toy, and then I won't have to spend it on that. I don't know, like, $100?
Yeah.
Max?
That's pretty accurate. It says the average money spent, this was a minimum of $50 per pet.
Yeah.
So kind of on the same, and that's minimum, like at least $50. So
yeah, like if you have a pet,
yeah, you're probably going to give them a nice little steak dinner or something and maybe a toy or two and maybe a treat. I've seen at some pet stores, they have what looks like cupcakes, but they're obviously dog food and dog treats,
yeah,
which they probably love. So I know
there's some gourmet stuff out there, Jeffy. I don't know how much you've seen, but oh my, there's some gourmet birthday cakes for puppies and kitty cats and everything out there.
I know. I can't wait to get my little doggo and give him all the good treats on his birthday. It's my cat's birthday tomorrow, actually. He's turning one. So we're going to give him a nice little can of tuna. So
that's a bit of a different price range. I'd hate to see what you'd feed the bird. Yeah, here's some seeds.
You want me to give a steak to a cat? I don't know if they would take
it. No, a nice toy, though. Something of, you know.
Oh, we're getting him toys. He has so many toys.
That's what I say.
Like I said, what would you give the bird? Oh, here's some seeds. Don't eat them all in one place. Thanks, pal. We'll talk to you
later. Guys. See ya.
Okay, man. Jeff will be back for Cut for Time later on in the program. We'll take a break. And up next is our app update as John Beeler joins us.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. and be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.